Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our expository study of the Gospel of Luke. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the Gospel of Luke. This is part one of two.
Mark. Current events update. We have some good news. This is from my perspective. In the world of sports, the NBA, this is how Sean Hannity's website reported it. The NBA caves to fans. Now, actually, that's what sports are supposed to do. Sports are there for the fans. And a lot of these people have forgotten that. But the boss says next season we'll abandon the social justice messaging and return to normalcy. What he means is they're going to return to basketball. The NBA commissioner Adam Silver confirmed this week during an interview with ESPN that his association, the NBA, will largely abandon their social justice messaging next season and will focus on returning to normalcy. Now, I want to say this. It's not their fact that they're what they call social justice messaging. Let's be honest. Their left-wing Marxist messaging is what we oppose.
Yes.
If you want that, get out of our country. We are not a socialist country. And any of these guys standing up for socialism should be booted.
Amen.
Now, I don't care what sport it is. He says, I would say in terms of the messages you see on the court and the jerseys, this was an extraordinary moment in time when we began these discussions with the players and what we all lived through this summer. Those messages will largely be left to be delivered off the floor. And I understand those people who are saying, I'm on your side, but I want to watch a basketball game, said Silver. Well, that's still wrong because I'm not on their side. We have black, white, and Puerto Rican in our church family, and I'm here to tell you that we love you no matter what your skin color. But Black Lives Matter is not about black lives. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization that supports Sodom and Gomorrah, the end of the nuclear family, and socialism. And for whatever reason, they think killing the black babies somehow isn't contradictory to Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives Matter, stop killing black babies. But that's not as all bound. That's why they kill the black babies. I mean, Planned Parenthood has their clinics set up in more black neighborhoods than any other neighborhoods in this country.
And the people that started it were racist.
But if you don't think that if you think Black Lives Matter, you have to ask yourself why Al Sharpton and other black leaders in this country support the killing of black babies. There's a question there that's never answered. But BLM must be rejected because they are Marxist. And the hate hoax needs to be dispelled. And they're constantly labeling anyone who doesn't go along with their left-wing agenda haters. They're liars. Amen. These people are always doing what they're accusing you of doing. Another hoax was exposed this week. You may remember when I told you this would turn out to be another hoax. And you may not have heard about it because the same people who put it out on their headlines and made it the headline story have killed the story now that it's turned out to be a hoax. This lady, 18-year-old biracial woman in Wisconsin, claimed that, I think it was supposed to be four white men, wearing MAGA hats and everything, I guess, just like the Jussie Smollett thing. You're supposed to have doused her with gasoline and then lit it on fire and tried to burn her up. That was on CNN and all MSNBC and all these. 4 months later, biracial woman says she was lit on fire and burned by four white males. Prosecutors find no such evidence. First of all, it wasn't gasoline. It was lighter fluid. Second of all, there's nobody, even though it happened when people are all around and no one saw it. And so forth. She made it up. But see, what gets imprinted on people's mind, they're trying to stir up hate. The left-wing Democrat news media in this country wants to stir up hate. Yep. They want everybody at each other's throats. Yep. They want a race war. That's what they want. Yep. And they lie, and they make big news headlines, and then 4 months later, when it's proven it was a hoax, there's no evidence to support the claims, you hardly ever see any reports on it. Yep. Because they want you to continue to think it actually happened. How many of you know Michael Brown lift up his hands? Remember that? Hands up, don't shoot. Total lie. Never happened. Never happened. The Obama administration investigated and said he never lifted his hands up and he never said that. And yet to this day, these what I call poverty pimps and race baiters run around quoting that as though it really happened. One thing after another, they're trying to stir up hate. What they do is they go down and they burn down the cities all over this country and then blame our president. Think of how insane that is. That's like me, all right? I'm opposed to gay marriage. So the churches where they're having gay weddings, I go burn them all down. And then the news reports and says, the gay rights movement's to blame. The gay rights movement made Greg mad, and so that's why he burned down those churches. So the gay rights movement is to blame. That's the equivalent. It's the exact same thing. It's insane. But people out there are like, you know, just eat it up, believe it. That's why I want to say a word on the popular vote. Trump is set to lose the popular vote again, according to all the news media. And you don't believe me? I would be saying the same thing if Trump was the one who was going to win the popular vote with these same figures. What my point isn't Donald Trump. My point is you're being lied to. Yep. And you need to understand this world is full of lies. Yep. And so you have to think with discernment. You have to challenge. I don't know how many of you are still in school, whether it's high school, junior high, college, whatever. Everything that isn't plainly taught in Scripture, you should challenge. Amen. You will find that a lot of the history material in your history books, a lot of the so-called science material in your science book is a load of crap. Yep. You're being lied to. Beside the fact that the U.S. Constitution requires what's called an electoral college victory, and I'll show you why in just a second. Beside that fact, but besides that fact, let's review what happened in 2016. These were the final vote tallies of the election that happened 4 years ago. Right now, all the headlines are saying Joe Biden is winning by 10 points or 8 points or 6 points, according to what poll. Well, that he may be. It's beside the point. Here's why. Last election, 65,853,514. To Donald Trump, 62,984,828. So 65 million plus is more than 62 million plus, right? Yes. So why isn't Hillary Clinton the president? Hillary won the popular vote by 2.8 million votes. 2.8 million votes, and she's not president. Why? Here's what the Democrat news media rarely mentions when they bring up this point. This only happened because California is awash with libtards. The California public schools, for example, totally brainwashing the kids. So when they turn 18 and start voting, they vote for every left-wing cause imaginable. It's only later when they get a little older and their brainstem actually grows something on it that they realize this stuff is bad and they start voting for non-liberals. Sometimes it is a Democrat, but very rarely these days it's not a liberal. Now here's, if you remove the state of California alone, just by removing California's vote, which is totally lopsided, that's the figures.
Wow.
57,099,726 for Hillary to Donald Trump's 58,501,018. Now, without California being counted, because it's a total libtard state, brain dead, you take that one state out and look at the tally of the other 49 states, Trump won by 1.4 million. That means that California, which is burning, which can't even keep their electricity on, which is having a complete exodus of anyone with any ability to get out of that hellhole called California, that one state voted for Hillary overwhelmingly, and you take that one state out, and the rest of the country voted majority for Donald Trump. Yeah, all 49 states concluded, just minus California. So, this is a fact. Liberals are turning California into Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yep, that's right.
Not only are the queers and the transvestites walking around the street, masturbating openly, taking a crap any corner they want to, standing at the corner and pissing all over the street. That's California today. And that is the result of liberalism.
Yep.
And that's exactly what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, that's
why it may not be till after the rapture before God just destroys that place. But it's an amazing thing he doesn't, but there's still a lot of Christians out there. They're not a majority, but there are millions of Christians in California.
Yeah. The state's always on fire.
They're basically like missionaries in a pagan world. Now, if you look at these are the counties in the United States of America.
Wow.
The red are the counties that majority voted for Donald Trump.
Wow.
The blue are the counties that voted for Hillary Clinton. Now, that tells you probably a third of those blue places are hell holes. And that's who votes for liberals. But look at how... Well, I got the figures here. If we elected presidents by county, Donald Trump won 2,623 counties.
Wow.
Hillary won 489. That's because outside of the hell holes, people still have an understanding, even if they're not Christian, they have an understanding that when you go godless, you go dead.
Yep.
Common sense is only dead in the hell holes. It's a little thing called reality. Amen?
Amen.
That's your current events update. All right, we're going to jump into Luke 8. We looked at the parable of the sower, and that's where Jesus is now speaking after teaching that. And I took a one study and went back to verse 10 because I wanted to cover that but didn't have time at the study of the parable of the sower. The main point is, as long as you know not to trust the news media, then our job has been accomplished. But as I said, we're picking up there where Jesus is now speaking after teaching the parable of the sower. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. I'm just going to have you read all three verses with me, if you will, beginning in verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
That's why we sang verse 16, as you see there. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel. Why? Because this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. So Christianity is built on the practice of open confrontational evangelism. Now, there's two problems. We're going to deal mainly with the first I mentioned, and that is that I don't like confrontation. And I'm sorry, but you're in the wrong religion. God has called us to confrontation. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be confrontational in the sense of walking up and shouting at people and yelling at them and doing that kind of thing. To be confrontational just means you confront somebody. You can be as sweet as apple pie.
Amen.
You can, you know, if you want to, if you do it in text, smiley faces and hearts, you know. But you should be confrontational. You confront people with the fact they need Jesus. You confront lost people with the fact that they're a sinner. And they're going to either pay for their own sins or accept what Jesus did to pay for your sins. Everyone in this room, including me, is a sinner.
Amen.
Every one of us should be burning in hell right now.
Amen.
Well, I'm a good person. No, you're a liar. You're not a good person. Nobody's a good person. Well, my grandma, your grandma, was a wicked sinner. She may not have smoked pot and used God's name in vain. She had her own sins. And if she wasn't saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to see your grandmother or who, your uncle or your aunt or your mama, your papa, your best friend, whoever, if they reject Jesus Christ, that person will stand before a great white throne and their sins will be judged and they will be exposed to be wicked sinners who rejected Jesus Christ. That's going to be the majority of humanity. Jesus said, narrow is the way. And he said, few there be that go in thereat. And people try to put people in heaven. They've never... We've just heard of some people this week, you know, who, some of the people who have died that are well known. Mack Davis was one of them. Helen Reddy. I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. You know, no profession of Christianity that we can find for either one of them. There are others. I can't just remember off the top of my head.
Tom Hanks.
He died? I don't think Tom Hanks died. That's why you shouldn't be on Facebook. Yeah, Johnny?
We can see that also in a few of the shows we've been watching, how they'll, you know, somebody will die and they'll suddenly say, oh, we need to do the right thing because that's what they would have wanted.
Yeah.
Like, acting like they were
saints.
Homeless.
Everybody, as soon as they die, everybody becomes a saint.
Oh, yes.
And the fact is, you're only a saint if you're a saint while you're alive.
Yeah.
Yep. Once you're dead, it's over. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You better become a saint now. Now, saint doesn't mean sinless. Saint doesn't mean you no longer sin. That you should sin less, but you don't become sinless as in never sinning. Jesus died for your sins, and you, if you believe on that and you are saved, you are a saint.
Amen.
You may not always act like a saint, but you are a saint. And if you're not, you die in that condition, you're in hell. And that's why Jesus told us we're to be confrontational. People are on their way to hell. If you will recognize that and live with that reality, then you also think about how you need to share the gospel with them. And if you don't have time to talk to people, you know, when people are working, like at the restaurant and everything, you can't stop them and give them a sermon. I mean, they get trouble for that. They're supposed to be working. They're on the clock. And you should respect that. That's why we got gospel tracts. And you can hand them a gospel tract and say, on your break or lunch, read this. I always say that because I don't want them to stop and read it right then and there because I don't want to get in trouble. If you are working on the clock and you're loafing and not working, you're a thief. You're being paid to work. You should work. And everybody who goes off and hides and doesn't do their job, they're thieves. You better watch that person. They're also going to be a liar. Those are the kind of people that talk with forked tongue. But as Christians, we should work, work, work. We should be the one that everybody says, boy, they're the hardest working people out there. Why? Because he should say, because I work as unto the Lord. Then when you're not on the clock, break time, lunch, before, after work, talk to people about Jesus. Give them a gospel tract. Be confrontational as tactfully as you can. Be confrontational. Any other version of Christianity is heretical.
Amen.
You hear this lifestyle evangelism we talked about last week when we were downstairs, I think. Lifestyle evangelism. None of you live so wonderfully that you're just going to draw people to Jesus. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's just such the idea that I'm just living it. And then people want you don't live it. I don't care how hard you think you how hard you try and how successful you think you are, you ain't nothing compared to Jesus.
Amen.
Now you should live it. You should want to live the Christian life as best as possible. But yeah, how many of you heard that they always quote, you may not know this, they're quoting a Catholic heretic, and I think it's Thomas Aquinas, who said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words.
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Amen. Why? Because Jesus never said that.
No.
What Jesus said is, what is biblical Christianity? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And when the Bible uses preach, it's always talking about using words.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you live it, as I said. And there might be somebody who notice you have a peace that passes all understanding. And they might come out and say, you know, you have such peace going through trials. You know, what is your answer? What is that? But they're not going to walk up to you and say, you know, you remind me of Jesus. If they do, it's called flattery. And the Bible has a lot of bad things to say about that. They're probably going to ask you for something.
Yeah.
But in reality, you can demonstrate peace and joy. People have come up to me about Jenny and I and our marriage because, you know, we don't scream and yell at each other, and she's never had to come in church with a hood on to cover a black eye or anything like that. But people notice we actually like each other.
Amen.
And we spend a lot of time together and we enjoy it.
Amen.
Not every marriage is like that. But people will come up and say, how do you guys do it? And I said, well, all I can tell you is I'm not the expert. But I'm here to tell you that she loves the Lord. And she's a woman of prayer. She's in the Word. She wants to please the Lord. And I can only tell you, you can believe me or not, but I love the Lord. And I try to live for the Lord. And I try to be, I'm in the Word and I pray and I try to be. And because of that, we started over here and here. But as we both moved closer to the Lord, we got closer to each other. Notice that?
Amen.
Start here and here. And as you get closer to the Lord, you get closer to each other.
Amen.
And Christians who are late for church. All right, I'm so sorry. Ezra. I hope you didn't sit on. We have little cars there and a new little rug. That's for Ezra, not you, Charlie. But if you want to be happy in life, serve the Lord, you'll have better relationships, better marriages. But if you want to see people saved, preach the gospel. And if you say, I'm serving the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord, I love the Lord, then you're going to preach the gospel. Because that's the one you love. The one you say you want to serve, that's what he has told us all to do. J.C. Ryle is one of these Anglicans, and I love reading his stuff. Every once in a while, he'll get on some of the Anglicism, and I'll disagree. But when he's just talking Bible, he says this about our text. Quote, the disciples must not suppose that our Lord's instructions were intended to be kept secret and reserved from the world. They were not to be confined to a few favored hearers, like the lessons of the heathen philosophers. but to be published, proclaimed, and made known to all mankind.
Amen.
That's biblical Christianity described right there.
Amen.
Now the reality is, secret religion is satanic. And if you're a Christian and you just keep it all in and you never talk about Jesus to anybody, and you're not out there even trying to reach the lost, you are actually serving the goal of Satan in your life. After you're saved, Satan has one goal for you, and that is to kill your witness. If he can get you caught up in sin and kill your witness, he'll do it. He's actually motivated leaders and kings and popes to murder people to quiet their witness. But if he can just get you to be so relaxed and apathetic that you don't serve the Lord, you are serving his goal.
Amen.
So verse 17 says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." So not only are you not supposed to keep it secret, but usually, it seems almost disconnected at times when you see these things, but I think they're connected. If you are the type that keeps your religion to yourself, I've seen people say they're Christians, and then someone say, "Oh, when were you saved?" Or, "Oh," ask them questions. They say, "Well, it's private. I keep it just between me and the Lord." There's something wrong. And you usually find that they have some kind of sin. Just over the last few years, there were people who didn't want to talk much about their relationship with the Lord and everything, and then it came out that they were homosexual, claiming to be Christian, while going on with homosexual activity in their life. Adultery. Been cheating on their spouse, so they didn't want attention, because they were involved in some terrible sin. That's why they didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it could be people involved in embezzlement. You know, who knows what the sin is. But somebody who's right with God, living for the Lord, usually likes to talk about the Lord. And I've been in the room with people who say, "Oh, I'm a Christian too." And then as soon as I try to start talking to about the Lord, they want to stop the conversation. They want to get out of there. They don't want to stick around. There's something wrong.
Amen.
And if you think that you're going to hide things, our text says, "Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest."
Amen.
Now I want to say this. This passage is normally quoted about secret sin in general, like I just did. And that is true. But the context here is religion, not personal sin. So the context is the sower and the seed and receiving the word of God. And then turning around in verse 16 and letting your light shine.
Yeah.
That's the sin being addressed directly. I think there are a lot of Christians who use their personality or their preferences or whatever as an excuse not to obey the Lord. And then they get outside the four walls of the church, and all week long, God is not in many of their thoughts, if any. And that's why they're not preaching the gospel. They're not talking to people about Jesus. I can't remember who I was talking to last week, but, you know, it's really sickening when, you know, someone, especially the young people, when they find somebody and they're in love. And then they want to talk about is that other person. And, you know, "I'm glad you found somebody, but I don't want to hear all that." You know, but they can't stop. "Oh, you know, so-and-so this and so-and-so that. And I just love how so-and-so and so-and-so." And you're like, I wasn't going to say anything, but. But, you know, you're happy for people, you know. So you're like, "Oh, that's great." You know, and you try to just.